only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Things are possible. Only believe.
Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
We believe, Heavenly Father, that you are the Lord of lords, you are the King of kings, O living God. We believe that there is none beside thee. You are our God, you are our Father. We believe, O living God, Master, you are our Savior. You are the only one who came to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And we believe you are still healing people, Lord. We believe you are still saving souls. We believe you are still filling with the Holy Ghost, Lord. We believe you are here with us, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are grateful because your word is yea and it is amen. Your word, O living God, can never fail, O God. We are grateful. We believe that, Heavenly Father. We say, blessed be thy name, Lord. Lord Jesus, we pray you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know you are here. Because you said in your word that we are two or three that gathered in your name, there you will be in their midst, Lord. Lord Jesus, we strongly believe that, O living God, loving Savior, we pray that you be gracious unto us, Master. Forgive our sins, forgive our wrongs, forgive our mistakes. May they all come under thy blood, O loving Savior, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help us in this service, Heavenly Father. Bless us, O living God. Hear our humble cry. Give us faith to believe our prayers. Help us, Lord Jesus, as we call upon thee, Master. May you, Master, Lord, may we go back home, O living God. Life rooted, O living God. Believing that all our requests are answered, Father. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. Blessed be thy name, Master. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this Sunday that we left, your people left here. Lord, you have been our protection, our seed, and our buckler. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today. Be with us and see us through. Thank you for granting this request, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You are welcome to the service. Let's have our seat a little bit as we sing for this hymn 229. Before 229, lead me to Calvary. Praise ye the Lord. May we never forget Calvary. God bless you. Let's stand on our feet as we take our Bible and read from the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, we'll start our reading from verse 27. When we get to verse 34, we'll see that. And continue from there to 54. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knees before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, of his skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted their whole, he would not drink. Can we have our seat as we continue? Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garment among them, and upon my vestures did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thief also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his state. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, which when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the heart did quake, and the rock rent. And the grave were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the grave after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. We are grateful to God once again that we have this opportunity to be in his house. Let's listen to the prophet. We have little time. I'm not in a hurry. So we have little time with us before we, because we understand there is likely to be a practice after the service, so we finish on time. So let's settle that and listen to what Brother Bram said about this sermon, that day of Calvary. Praise ye the Lord. He preached it to have been followed September 25, 1960. We start our reading from paragraph 41. Let's follow the prophet. That day on Calvary. God bless you. It seems like it will be a little out of season. This should be on Good Friday. Calvary should be remembered every day. Did you agree? Calvary should be remembered. If we pray this sermon every service day, it is not too much. Because Brother said Calvary should be remembered every day. We can never preach that day on Calvary too much. Okay, let's continue. And we have heard so much about it, read so much about it. Preachers have preached on it since the beginning of time. Singers have sung of it through the ages. Prophets foretold it 4,000 years before it ever happened. And the prophet of this day points back to when it did happen. Is such an important day. It's one of the most important days of all the days that God ever let down on the earth. Did we agree? Praise ye the Lord. That is the greatest day on earth. Very humble day, very sacred day, very terrifying day, but that is the greatest day that ever be on earth. Praise ye the Lord. And if it's so important to human race, Calvary, I think it is good for us to go back and examine it and see just what it meant to us. For I am sure at this late hour that we are living in, that we are living, we are seeking every importance of God that we can know. The hour is too late for us not to look for every important thing that we can know about God. May God help us. We are seeking every importance of God that we can know. And all that we can find out, we are here to learn of it, to see what is for us and what God has done for us, and see what he has promised to do for us. And that is what we come to church for. That's why the preacher preaches. That's why he studies and meditates in the scriptures and seeks for inspiration. It's because he is a public servant to God's people. And he is trying to find something that God will have to say to his people. Something that will help them. Maybe it might be condemned them in their sins, but will be a help to raise them up, that they might forsake their sins and then raise up to serve the Lord. And ministers should seek these things. Praise be the Lord. That's the purpose why we come to church. When people are so, it seems as if people are so careless to the point of going into things, ministers should come behind the pulpit and cry out. May God help us. Ministers should seek these things. And this day being so important, one of the greatest days, let us look at three different things that day meant to us. We could take hundreds. But this evening, I have just chosen three different vital things that we want to look at for the next few moments that Calvary meant to us. And I pray that we condemn every sinner that is present. It will make every saint go unto his knees, that we make every sick person raise his face to God and walk away healed, every sinner saved, every bastard come back and be ashamed of themselves, and every saint rejoice and take new hope and new hope. The one great important thing that Calvary meant to us and the world is it settled the sin question. Praise the Lord. He did what? He settled the sin question. Once for all, man was found guilty of sin, and sin was a penalty that no man could pay. The penalty was so great until there wasn't anyone that could pay the penalty. We have just gone through the sermon, the cruelty of sin, and the penalty that it caused to lead sin out of our life. So, I truly believe that God ordained it that way, that the penalty will be so great that no man could pay it, so he could do it himself. Now, the penalty of sin was death. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. But the gift of God is most eternal life. And that is the will of God for all of us, to have his life eternal in us. Praise be the Lord. That is why he died. That is why he came for us, for our purpose. Abraham said, sin killed him. It is not his own sin, it is our sin that killed him, because our sin was placed upon him. He bared our sin. He carried our grief. That's why the Bible says he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. He was not wounded for his own transgression. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Praise the Lord. So it was sin that killed him. Not his own sin, but my sin and your sin. May God help us. So that is why Brother said, on that day at Calvary, the same question was what? Settled forever. Let's continue. So now the penalty of sin was death, and we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Therefore, there wasn't none of us that was worthy. They could find no one on earth that was worthy. And sin did not start on the earth. Sin started in heaven. Who started it? Lucifer, the devil, was a condemned creature for his disobedience. Before he ever struck the earth, sin began in heaven. Where God put the angels and so forth, upon the same basis that he put human being on, knowledge, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge, where man could take his choice. And when Lucifer was given the preeminences to make his choice, he wanted something better than God had. And his children are still doing the same today. His children are looking for something better than what God has. That is why they do all they do. See, that is why, like I used to say, that it is when men think they are wiser than God, that is why they drop the way of God and follow their own way. But who can be wiser than God? There is no wisdom that is greater than the wisdom of God. That is why America is the same. For one thing, America is the way they are today. God said, spare the rod and do what? Spoil the child. Their wisdom say that you should not be the children. There is a better way of correction. Has that achieved anything? No, it can never. Because God's wisdom is that you spank a child. But Bible says that madness is where? It's in the heart of the child. But when you think you can do something better than the way the word of God says it, you are wrong. Anything. I don't care whatever it is. Whatever the word says, if you think that we have a better way of doing it, then we think we are worse than God. And it is a sin. Praise the Lord. Anything.
see, I don't care whatever it is. Whatever you do that the word of God is against and you think is better way of doing it, it is wrong. There is no wisdom that is greater than God's wisdom. So Satan thought he wanted something better than the way God had it. And that is where he heard. And his children are still doing the same thing today. They think they are worse than God, but at the end of the day, they find out that they are wrong. May God help us. The way of God is the original way. The way of God is the right way. Any other way other than that is the Satan's way. May God help us. So, when Lucifer was given the privileges to make his choice, he wanted something better than God had. That started a trouble. And there was a requirement for sin. The requirement was death. Death was the penalty. And that is, we could go into great details of this before. No problem. We could go into great details of this because I do not believe that there is but one death. There is one life. I believe a man that has eternal life and never die. I believe there is a complete annihilation of the soul that sins. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Not the man, but the soul that sinneth. So Satan must surely die to be completely destroyed. How I disagree with the universalists that say that Satan will be saved. He sinned, and he is the originator of sin, and his soul sinned, and he was a spirit. That spirit shall be totally annihilated, to be nothing left of it. And likewise his children, they will be totally annihilated. It is only those that have eternal life that will live forever, that will live eternally. Praise you, the Lord. Our time is up. Let me look for a convenient place to stop. Okay. And when she struck the heart, back in the beginning, like a sheet of blackness falling from the heavens, it literally paralyzed the heart. It threw every creature on the heart and all God's creation into bondage. Man was under bondage of death, sickness, trouble, sorrow. All nature fell with it. Sin was an anesthetic that actually paralyzed the heart. And then we were set there hopeless. Every creature on earth was subject to it. And everyone born on earth was subject to it. Praise the Lord. That is why we were born in sin. Because our forefathers, they drop into that sin. And there's no way we can help it. Like I used to say, it is not the fault of we human beings that we find ourselves in sin. But where God will condemn every human being is because God made the will of escape and human beings are refusing the way that God has made. May God help us. Well, we will stop here, trusting that God will help us. If there is time, we'll continue. God spared our lives. We'll continue because I don't want to exceed the time. God bless you. That day on Calvary is a day we should always remember. One major thing Brother Bram said, and we'll continue with this sermon by God's grace until we finish, that it settled the sin question. Is the sin question settled in your life? It's a question. Has the sin question been settled in your life? If you have not been to Calvary, it's better you go to Calvary. It's better we all visit Calvary so that the sin question in our life will be settled once and for all. That is the achievement of Calvary, that is settled the sin question. And if you are still struggling with sin, then the sin question is not settled yet. You've got to go to Calvary. Let's bow down our heads. Let's commit ourselves to the hand of the Lord. Let's commit ourselves to the only one who can change us. No one can change any human being. is the changes lies in the hands of God. And Brother Brown taught us that this thing has to do with nature. And our nature must be changed. So, and it is only the only person that can change our nature is who? Is God. Pastor cannot change the nature of anybody. No minister can change the nature of anybody. God has to do it. And if we are here in his presence, and if we are here in his presence and we believe he answers prayers, then we should call on him to come and change our nature. Why don't we call upon him once again this evening? Let it not be a tradition. Let it not be that we have been doing it. May we not miss the day of our visitation. Let's commit ourselves to the Lord.
In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Just before I hand over to his servants, I want us to sing this song solemnly. 206, pass me not, O gentle Savior.
18. We are grateful to you for all this number of us that you made the way for to be here. We thank you for the blessings we have received. Lord, thank you for the worship service. Thank you for the short exhortation. Lord, just the preamble of that day of Calvary. We are grateful to you, Lord, for what Calvary meant to us, especially as many as have experienced Calvary. Lord, there's no one that will understand what Calvary is that will not desire to experience it also. We pray, dear God of heaven and earth, as many as I still trust you, O God, for an experience with you, a confirmation of their election, may you make it, Lord, to come to manifestation in their life to the glory of your name. Thank you for prayer requests, both the ones that were written by your children and read. Thank you for those on the slide that we prayed over and those even that were mentioned verbally in addition by your servants. All these requests, we believe that they are receiving attention before your throne of mercy. Lord, until we see the manifestation of each one, we will ask that to increase our faith. And Lord, give unto us, Lord, positive expectation in our hearts, as we know that when we ask, we shall receive. When we seek, we shall find. And when we knock, we shall be opened unto us. May we never entertain any suggestion of the enemy, Lord, concerning any of our requests. Thank you, Eternal Father. We ask us to replenish and bless the servant you have used for this service. We pray you will lift up the honor of his ministry. As we dismiss, Lord, may your grace brought us safely, take all of us home safely. We want to commit the program here tomorrow to your hand, Lord, that you will give unto us a good weather. Grant your message to all that will be in attendance. Make the whole thing a success, dear Father. And as your servant pronounce a couple, husband and wife, may you bind their heart together and give them a happy home also. Thank you, gracious Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We dismiss immediately. We switch to smaller gym. We are still expecting the couple. They are on their way, but we'll be able to, we'll be making some little preparation. Those that are on the train that are here already, who, the couple that said they don't have much to do in the practice. It's the train that is that need to organize themselves well. God bless you. The wedding itself here tomorrow is 11 a.m. according to the program. It's 11 a.m. The Lord bless you all. And may his grace watch over every one of us until we meet again. Shall rise. Hymn number 196. I will praise him when I saw the cleansing fountain.